that we have visitors. You didn't want me to continue this, did you?
All right. I was trying to think of other O words, but that was just about the extent of it.
Oh, my.
Mike stole just a little bit of my thunder because I too was going to announce about a wonderful men's business meeting. We got an awful lot accomplished, and you will see that when I give you an overview. If you have any questions about our meeting, several of our men were there. Just single one of them out, and you can ask any about that. The dates have been finalized for Freddie Anderson's meeting. It will start on November the 6th, and it will continue through Friday. So go ahead and mark that on your calendar, November 6th through November the 11th. I am already looking forward to Freddie being here. He is my favorite preacher. I don't mind even announcing that. I haven't told Linda yet, but I want him to preach my funeral because I know he'll get me into heaven with his message. So please mark your calendar now, November the 6th through the 11th. Also, a suggestion was made, and I think this is wonderful. We're going to do some research about showing our appreciation to first responders here in town. The police officers, the firemen, and I suppose that's all I can think of. Paramedics, I'm sorry, that would certainly be right. We're going to try to find something to do to honor them, whether it is a supper or inviting them to our first Sunday fellowship or something. And I think that is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to reach into the community. In some other communities, it appears obvious their police force is not as good as ours is. So we need to show how much we appreciate our police force. I know I saw Ken do this for the very first time. We were over at McDonald's, and he stopped a policeman that was there and told him how much he appreciated the work that they did, and I was very impressed with that. Ken, I even did that not long ago. I found three of them, though, that were over at the soda fountain, and I said, while y'all are here, I just want to say something. We appreciate the work that you do, and they were very appreciative. One of them even came back a little bit later and said, we really appreciate you saying that. So we're going to get something going. I'm not exactly sure what it is. Also, we are going to try to find the right way, either in a limited way or maybe even in a major way, to reach out to the George Street congregation. That's the Spanish-speaking congregation, just right over here, just a couple of blocks away. We have a good start because Jackie Blanca's husband is the preacher there. His brother and sister-in-law go there. Renee, who used to come here, now goes there since his father was ill back then. So we want to reach out, maybe in a very casual way. Maybe just invite them to come some Sunday, and maybe Renee and I can share the preaching, and we'll have a fellowship that day. In some way, we need to make sure that they know we're all in this together. Now, that reminds me, though, of something else. When the Sojourners were here, they knocked some doors of families that only spoke Spanish. So we're going to be getting that information over to Jackie also. So in the future, don't know exactly when, we're going to reach out to them. And I know that the congregation is going to show them just as much love as you show to anyone else. But we have Margaret and Francis and Danny and the girls and Darwin and Blanca and others that are here because we love the Lord, and there's no reason for others not to be here either because we love the Lord. And then the last thing we talked about, and that is we're going to double our efforts up again and try to reach out into the nation and find a man, a family man, to come in and be what we're calling an outreach minister or a teaching minister. We have some very specific guidelines for him. We have tried this in times past. It just never seemed to work, but we're going to reinforce those efforts, and we're going to get those advertisements made this week, no doubt, and hopefully in the future we will have a man who is in here predominantly for outreach to help us in all areas of worship, but predominantly to lead the outreach here in the community. And hopefully we'll have some applicants coming in very, very soon. To the men who were there, is that all the ones that I needed to mention, and I did I word those correctly? Well, that's a probable. We're going to have a picnic. Tina's out. Tell Tina, we're going to have a picnic. Tina was talking about a picnic last week, and I said, we used to have those and had such a good time until those flies came that one time, and it scared us all away. We're going to find a Saturday afternoon where there are no flies in Calhoun County. That's the day we're going to have that picnic. But it'll be this this summer, or maybe as we move into spring. But we have a covered pavilion to use, so really it would be just as good in the summer as any other time. But we will be doing that. Let's get to our lesson. One of my favorite words is oxymoron. I don't know why, it just happens to be one of my favorite words. It means self-contradicting terms. And maybe that's why I like the word so much, because I'm notorious for that from time to time. I contradict myself, but these are words or phrases that are designed to contradict themselves. It comes from two Greek words, and I found this extremely interesting. It comes from two Greek words. The first Greek word is oxus, which means sharp, and another word, moros, which means dull. Sharp and dull, a contradiction. And I have my favorites. Up until this week, my favorite was jumbo shrimp. They're either jumbo or they're shrimp. They can't be both. Or white chocolate. It just is a contradiction of terms. Or freezer burn. And now, from now on, my favorite is sanitary landfill. But here's the oxymoron that we will use tonight. Boring worship. Boring worship. You know, brethren, I'm sure you, like I, have visited in Christians' homes who used to be very involved in the work, who used to be very faithful in their attendance. And really, I believe it is because they can't really think of anything else. And they say, well, the services are just so boring. Now, I realize that the way we do things, the biblical way we do things, we have some gaps perhaps in our worship. Maybe we have some introductions of things that maybe are not as exciting as other things. But brethren, I suggest that as long as a congregation is worshiping God in spirit and in truth, it cannot be boring. Amen. Now, I'm not going to say this other than right now. If we have a problem with the services and think they are boring, it's not God's fault. And it's not the worship's fault. Well, you can decide where the fault must be. So quite often we talk to people and we say, you used to be so faithful in your attendance. They say the worship is just boring. Now, in essence, the very essence of worship does not allow us to allow it to be boring. Brethren, think about this. When we come together by the authority of Almighty God. We come together by the authority of the one that spoke everything into being. And we have seen his power in the world. Brethren, we've seen the power in our own lives. We call it providence. But when we consider the God of the universe and the power of that God and the love and the compassion of that God, how can we possibly say that an acknowledgement to him in our worship can possibly be boring? Maybe we can come up with other words and descriptions, but not boring. Now, does everyone have the Psalm 96 reading? If you do not, if you hold your hand up, Aaron will bring you one. I think everyone does. Debbie needs one right here, Aaron. We're going to get to Psalm 96 in just a moment, but I want to read the first part of Psalm 95 to lay the foundation for our lesson. We'll be to Psalm 96 in a moment. This is from Psalm 99. Come, let us sing and worship the Lord with joy. Let us shout our praise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come to him with thanksgiving. He is a great God and the King above all others. Brethren, just from that passage alone, we need to realize that worship has to incorporate two elements: rejoicing and reverence. Being happy about being here and showing that proper reverence to God. And if we fail to do so, if we fail to get a response from our worship, even if it is just mental or emotional, then we've fallen down in our worship. But here again, how can we say to God, you are the creator of the universe, you are the sustainer of our life, your son is the savior that's going to get us to heaven? How can we say that and call it worship and then say that we are bored? Well, we can't. Now, take your page, Psalm 96. Before we get into reading any of this particular psalm, I'd like to have a Bible study on it. This psalm deals with praise and worshiping God. And though the Hebrew word that David uses here is translated sing, if you really do research into the Hebrew word, the word actually means worship. Singing is certainly part of worship, but David is not just talking about singing or just talking about any action of worship. He's actually talking about worship. So when we read sing to the Lord, actually David's word should be worship the Lord. You'll also notice still in the first verse that David talks about a new song. We'll worship and praise God with a new song. Now, there are two ways to think of this. I believe if we stretch it, either one of them might be accurate. But I don't believe that David here is talking about something that is not old. You know, something that is new is not old. I think what he's talking about is something that is fresh. Over in Lamentations, 3 verse 22, Solomon is talking about God's mercy and God's grace and God's love for us. And he says these attributes are new every morning. They're fresh every morning. The manna that God provided to the Israelites when they were wandering in the wilderness was new every morning. It was fresh every morning. Now, I know he was teaching them to honor the Sabbath day, as Keith pointed out, but he was saying we need to look at God in a fresh way every day. We need to thank God for the freshness of our life every day. So maybe David's talking about something that's not old, but I really believe he's talking about something that is fresh. Now, I may be overstepping my position, but I want to read that first part of Psalm 96 that way. Oh, worship the Lord with freshness. Let all the earth worship him. Worship him and bless his name. Declare his glory because he is great and greatly to be praised. Now, let's continue to lay the foundation for this lesson. There are some questions that perhaps have already come to your mind as you have scanned through Psalm 96. Let me see if I can read your mind so we can answer those questions. I think that probably we can. First of all, who is it that we are to worship? Who is the who in our worship? Well, the easy answer is God, deity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In fact, in Psalm 96, you will find either a name referring to God or a pronoun in reference to God 10 times in these 13 verses. That's who we are to worship. Our second question, what is worship? The actual definition of worship has always been of confusion to me. The definition is to kiss toward. It really doesn't draw a very good picture in my mind about worship. But worship is defined by words like reverence and service. And it always references reverence and service, which is from our heart. So when we worship God, it must come from our heart. David elsewhere talks about worship from our heart. Jesus talks about worship from our heart. If our worship is not from our heart, then brethren, according to the Bible, it does not classify as worship. And the next question we ask, how are we to worship? All right, look at Psalm 96. Verse 1, we're to worship God with music. Verse 2, we're to worship God with proclamation. Verse 8, we're to worship God by giving him glory. Also from verse 8, we worship God by bringing him an offering. Also from verse 8, we worship God by coming to where he is. Verse 9, we worship God by living acceptably. Verse 10, we worship God by letting others see him in control of our lives. Our second question, why? Why should we worship? Again, from Psalm 96, we worship because we know that it is God that saves. Verse 2, verse 4, because of God's greatness. Verse 5, because of his power. Verse 6, because of his splendor and majesty and strength and beauty. Verse 13, because of his righteousness. And finally, where? Where are we to worship? Verse 3 says among the nations. Verse 6 says in his sanctuary. That means in his house, in church. And verse 8 says in his courts. And that's where his people are. We're either in his sanctuary or we're in the world. We're in his courts. Now we're still studying from Psalm 96. Psalm 96, as you know, is a poem. All of David's writing, in fact, all of the different men that were used as psalmists wrote the Psalms as poems. They were poems that I would say every time, but I'll at least say most of the time, were placed to music, and then they were used in that worship. This psalm, Psalm 96, naturally breaks into four stanzas. There are four natural breaks. The first stanza deals with exaltation of God's name. You remember when Jesus was asked, teach us to pray? He said, pray like this, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That is the exaltation of his name. Another stanza deals with the extending of his kingdom. You remember when the story of Jabez was so familiar and so well used about 6 or 7 years ago, the extending or the enlarging the body of God's kingdom, that's what this extending is. Brethren, the kingdom of God is not just Calhoun County. It's the world. Now, if the teaching is only found in Calhoun County, where do we have to go? We have to go to the world. That's where Jesus says to go in the Great Commission. Another deals with the expression of his greatness. And the final one deals with the expectation of his coming. You know, I make no bones about it. John 14 is my favorite passage of Scripture. I love the entire passage. But the most exciting thing that Jesus says in that entire body of script is, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So we are in expectation of Jesus' return. Let's talk about these also individually. The exaltation of God's name. This is reading from Psalm 96. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all ye earth, all the earth. Sing to the Lord and praise his name. Brethren, we're called on in this passage to sing. But as we discussed a moment ago, it is to worship God. We are told to worship God several times, actually, even in these introductions. And when something is repeated in triplicate, as this is, for instance, holy, 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 God's name is holy, Isaiah 6:3, then we are to pay special attention to it. He also mentions this new song that we are to sing to the Lord. Brethren, it might be something that is brand new. Please don't think I'm denying that possibility. Or it might mean something that is delightful and precious and exquisite. You remember in the book of Revelation, chapter 14, they were singing a new song that was being sung around the throne of God. I believe it's because it was just like it is brand new. Next, the extending of the kingdom. David says, proclaim his salvation day after day, declare his glory among the nations, proclaim his marvelous deeds among the nations. Brethren, isn't that what the disciples did when they carried the gospel to all the world? They proclaimed the glory of God. They taught the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and they supplemented their teaching with signs and wonders and miraculous deeds. We're told how to extend the kingdom. We extend the kingdom by letting our light shine before men, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. What do we proclaim? We proclaim Jesus day after day among the nations. Our message is the gospel. Our method is to share the good news daily, and our mandate is to take it to everyone. Everyone. If they have a soul, we're demanded to take it to them. But brethren, we only have one message. Jesus saves. That's what we take. I'm going to allude to one of Jim Gordon's sermons. I hope you were here. When he was talking about the gospel being the death, burial, and resurrection. And he said, when you go and talk to someone, or you go and knock that door, or you do something to make someone know how interested you are in them, all they have to know is that Jesus is the one that saves. That's the message we take. Yes, he died. Yes, he was buried. Yes, he arose from the dead. That proved he was the Son of God. That proves he was the anointed one. But to at least break the ice with anyone, we just need to tell them that Jesus saves. You see, I have friends that I need to tell Jesus saves. I have family that I need to tell that Jesus saves. And I need to do that because that's what salvation is all about. So we began this lesson talking about oxymorons. I can think of one more oxymoron, and that is a bored believer. Brother, we can't do that. We can't be that. We just have too much to do to be a bored believer. If we're doing all that Christ commands us to do, we're not going to have time to be bored. I remember one time my two older children came to me. They were probably 10 and 8, and they said, Dad, we're bored. Do something about it. I said, you've got games and television, you can go outside, you can go down to the beach, you can go fishing, you can do all of this. I'm not responsible to cure your boredom. Well, brethren, if we're doing what God expects us to do, we won't have time to be bored. So if we are exalting God and extending Christ, if we are expressing his need and anticipating his return, we'll become so fired up that we'll just become fired up. And that's what zeal is, being on fire for the Lord. So I know I'm preaching to the Sunday night choir, and don't take that literal. I know I'm preaching to people that are already doing this, but brethren, we need to make sure this whole congregation stops just sitting around. We need to start singing, we need to start sowing, we need to start serving, and I will guarantee you, being bored will be the least problem we can ever think about. Well, I have not mentioned first principles tonight, but I think everyone here, having reached a degree of maturity, understands exactly what Jesus wants of us. He wants our lives. As Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body, your life, as a living sacrifice. So if you need to give your life to Jesus tonight, if you need to come forward and make some special need known, the opportunity is right now as we stand together and sing.